Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew. I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Sin Cara has been suspended for 30 days for violating the wellness policy. Aaron, what's going on with this?
Well, he claims that, you know, he hasn't been taking anything. But the real thing here is that, you know, a lot of people have been speculating online. They want to know if the test was taken with that blue mood lighting. That's the biggest question right now on everyone's mind.
What's that?
They want to know if there was blue mood lighting. It took you a second.
It took me a second, all right. I'll give you that. It took me a second. All right, I got it.
In all honesty, though, he's actually not very happy right now. And there's talk that, you know, his 30-day suspension, it actually could be for good. So we that may have been the last we saw of him at Money in the Bank.
Unbelievable. And that's all the news we got for this week?
Well, I mean, there's other things that we could talk about, but, you know, it's just not as big as what else we have in store for this.
All right,
show.
So what do we have, Aaron?
Well, we got Money in the Bank, and we have with us, friend of the show, Doug Hahn, who happened to be at Money in the Bank in Chicago, Illinois.
How's it going?
So, Doug, how was the pay-per-view?
It was excellent. It was well worth the amount of money I spent for it.
Nice, nice. Did you recognize Colt and Ace Steel at first?
No, not until you texted me and you said that they were in the front row and I had to take a look around. And I was like, and to be honest, I really didn't know who they were too much. I just knew them by name.
Yeah.
And as soon as I looked around the ring, I was like, those guys look like wrestlers. That's them.
Nice, nice. That's awesome. How close were you to the ring?
I was technically I was in row 4, but really I was in like row 1 because there were 3 rows in front of me, but right behind the broadcasters starts row 4. So I was just a little bit left of where the ring
the timekeeper?
Timekeeper, okay. And where the person rings the bell. Where they keep all the belts.
Now I have to know, did they actually have a guy with a stopwatch out there keeping time?
I didn't see it. But I'm not going to say that it wasn't there.
Okay, I just had to check. I wasn't sure. I was just waiting for that one guy with the stopwatch, making sure that they're keeping time. So cool. So the first match that I sent you a message. I'm like, hey, is it true that this is first? And you're like, yeah, but I don't know which brand. And that's of course, the SmackDown. They had their Money in the Bank. And what made me mad was we should have realized that it was the blue briefcase, so we should have thought SmackDown, but we didn't know, unfortunately. But
I thought about that too. I felt a little dumb after I finally saw that it was SmackDown coming out, and I was like, "Hey, wait, there's a blue case. That was retarded." But I mean, for the most part, they didn't have the case up there to begin it. They actually ran out right while they were doing the opening sequence and put it on there.
Now, did they have a dark match beforehand?
They did have a dark match. I thought about going to get nachos because it was the tag team champions versus Santino or Santina. Mm-hmm. And Vlad the Impaler. I was actually surprised at how big he actually is.
Really?
In real life. That was kind of impressive. But it was one of those things where it's like, oh, it's a dark match. Okay, this is going to be a pop win for them. Mm-hmm. And it was. Now, it would have been kind of cool if, it, you know, titles changed hands in a dark match. That would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
It would have added to the awesomeness that was the pay-per-view in itself.
Nice, nice. So, of course, it was the first match was the SmackDown, Money in the Bank. And what did you think, like, being there live, like, honestly, dude, I thought it was probably the best ladder match I've ever seen.
You know, and I was trying to debate myself with which one was better, whether it was the Raw or the SmackDown one. And both of them had their big highlights. The ending for the SmackDown with Dan Bryan winning was amazing. Cody Rhodes just sold a chokeslam. I've never seen someone sell a chokeslam like he did. It was absolutely amazing. And Sin Cara going through the whole ladder was – I mean, that was just to the right of me.
Oh, man.
So that was very impressive.
Now, how did it look from your angle when they actually went through the ladder?
That was the only other problem was, like, once they hit the floor, I couldn't see too well because I've got Cole's big ego in the way. and the Spanish announcer table was a little bit in the way, too. And I think that was the only disappointment of the whole night. The Spanish announce table did not get broken.
I thought it was going to go really quick, too, because they set it up like, oh, crap, someone's going through it right now.
Yeah.
But so being there live, you thought that that match was great. Like, when you saw it live, were you like, wow, that's great?
I'll tell you what, when you go to a live show and you don't get to see some of those camera angles, it looks real. Like, if you just went to real life shows, you would say, oh, my God, this is real. That's not fake. They're not holding back.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was really impressive to see what the athleticism of all the athletes that are out there and the things that they did, especially when you're talking about Money in the Bank and the ladder aspect of it. And that's why I was willing to pay for floor seats, because I was like, this is something I want to see. This is where they pull out that extreme measure, and they have these great matches that they've had so far in the past that have had great Money in the Bank matches. And then the chance to see two of them in one night was, I mean, that was just awesome.
Now, I thought I had a confirmed report, but I just thought I'd ask. Is it true that you left your seat during the women's match and the Big Show versus Mark Henry match to go get nachos?
I did not.
Oh.
However, I will say this. I had a lot better view for those matches than any other match because the whole row in front of me left during the women's and the Big Show and... And the guy next to me left too, and so I had a lot more room. And you know, for the amount of money that I paid, it was like, I'm going to stay and watch this. You know, I always kept my fingers crossed for the nip slip for the women, but I was trying to pull off my Jedi powers. It just didn't work.
Uh-huh. So when the Raw Money in the Bank came out there, now did they run the suitcase out then hook it up there?
They did, and actually, okay. It's kind of funny if you might be able to catch it on the. If you watch the replay of it, Daniel Bryan actually didn't unscrew the right hook to get the case. He couldn't get it, so he just unhooked the hook that it was on.
Oh, really?
He was having a lot of problems with it, and then he finally just unhooked the other thing. So they had to reattach another hook to it in order to get the Raw one on there. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Now, of course, the Raw winner, of course, was Alberto Del Rio. Now, when the slip up at the end happened, like when they rip, well, the first thing was they ripped Ray's mask off. Now, could you actually see his face pretty well?
Actually, my angle, yes. Yes, I could.
Did you get a picture?
I tried. I just shared the link for hopefully those work to get you the pictures. And you'll actually see I took several pictures of Ray with because they brought a towel out. And put it over his head, and he kind of laid on the side of the ring that I was on, and it's really kind of funny because he does look like a little like terrorist or something because he just has an eyes showing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much I can zoom in on the pictures, but it is really funny because he's looking right at me as I'm taking pictures of him.
But Andy, you do realize that Ray has had his mask off before, right?
He has? So. Are you kidding me? No, but now also with that match, there was a lot of like good bumps. Now, did you get to see Evan Bourne's Shooting Star Press when he did it?
That was on the other side of the ring. I mean, I did get to see it, him jump up, but I didn't see who he landed on or even if he landed on anybody. But that was still awesome. I mean, and both matches had it, that one point in the match where everybody's going to jump to the outside. I like how SmackDown did it, where they had each side got one person to jump out and go each side of the ring. They had somebody jump onto another person on that side of the ring. That was awesome. Raw had them all jump onto one, but it was still kind of cool to see Ray and Kofi jump at the same time. That was pretty interesting. And then to add Evan Bourne into that, that was – that's just nuts because that ladder is way up there too.
Now, Doug, I wanted to ask you, with SmackDown and Raw, obviously two ladder matches, you know, same prize. Which one did you like better? Which one came across live being a better match?
Being a better match?
Or more exciting even, you know, like either.
I think overall the ending of Raw just tops it for me for which one I liked better. The overall, though, I think SmackDown's was a little bit better. Just the ending where they had everybody for Raw having everybody up there and everybody has a chance at that. I thought that was awesome. But when they started knocking people off, they kind of just jumped off themselves. That was, I thought, a little lacking. But I do have to give credit to Ray and staying in character, where he could have easily tried to rebalance his ladder to make it. He would have had to obviously let go of his hands, but he stayed in character and tried to hide himself. And then Alberto Del Rio got knocked over, but he could just put it back up again. And that was pretty nice. But I think in overall, you know, who's going to get it? And maybe that was another thing, is just because I predicted Alberto Del Rio winning. I kind of saw the ending coming, that kind of brought down Ross, but never expected Daniel Bryan to win. The way they ended it, I thought was really, but overall for the match quality, I think SmackDown's was a little bit better.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected Daniel Bryan to win. Now, I wanted to ask you, too, about Christian. He won the World Heavyweight Championship, which was a huge match. What was the crowd reaction in Chicago? Because, you know, we heard it was mixed. You know, we heard some boos, but we heard some cheers. What did you hear in the arena?
Well, this was something I was going to mention with the John Cena CM Punk match, but I'll mention it here too. The fans in Chicago, I think, are a little confused. I love Chicago. I love the fans in Chicago, but I saw several times people would cheer and then boo for Randy Orton or Christian or Cena or CM Punk. There was people that were yelling out, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, all just staying with the chant entirely. It's like, pick one and stick with it. But when and that was, I think, some of the people around me. But when I listened to it again, you could really tell the pitch level of the voices of people that were yelling, let's go Cena, were all the little kids.
Sure.
And then everybody else was yelling CM Punk or Cena sucks. Same thing with Randy Orton, except for I think that was really when I noticed everybody yelling the same. Because there was times they were booing Randy or Randy sucks. Chants were going out there and let's go Christian. There were a lot of people with signs that say I'm number one peep or I'm one of the peeps. You know, there was several signs for Randy Orton. Unfortunately, one had a sign where I couldn't see the second attempt at the RKO on the Spanish announce table. Because she had to put up her sign and she's front row. It's like, come on, seriously? You're going to get on TV. You're fat enough. Don't worry. But she put up her sign and I'm trying to yell at her. But of course, I mean, it was absolutely loud the whole night there. No matter what we were yelling, the fans were passionate. And I think that was awesome. And I think that brought out a lot in the wrestlers too. I think they fed off that enormously.
Now, going into the CM Punk match, now, when his music hit, was that the loudest you ever heard a pop?
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, all night. And, I even wrote down on the card a couple of the times where I've noticed different chants that were going on that night. Some of them I found a little bit funnier than others. But the chant for CM Punk all night happened during the SmackDown Money in the Bank. There was CM Punk's chants during the women's match. For the people that stayed and watched it, there were CM Punk chants. During the Mark Henry Big Show, there was We Want Ryder chants.
yes.
I thought that one was funny, and I kind of joined in on that one too. I also tried to get the chant going one more time when Mark Henry smashed Big Show's ankle. I was trying one more time, one more time. And I got the group around me to say it, but not the whole arena. which was kind of unfortunate. But then the one more time chant definitely was heard during the Randy Orton Christian match, and that was kind of cool. I didn't start that one, but I think that my predecessor chant of that started that one.
Nice, nice. So when CM Punk won the title, like, what happened after? Because it shows him walking out of the arena, basically. What happened after the cameras went dark?
After the cameras went dark, really nothing much happened. Vince McMahon left the arena, and you see the referees helping Laurinaitis back to the backstage. I hope I said his name right. I don't exactly. Okay. Helping him to the back, and then McMahon came back out and started slapping the crap out of him a little bit, and then went back, and that was it. I was kind of hoping for CM Punk to have a chance to run back in and kind of give like a curtain call or something like that, but that never happened.
Yeah, I think the way it ended was almost perfect. So, I mean, now you've been to, of course, you went to a WCW pay-per-view at the United Center.
Yes.
You've gone to a couple SmackDowns, and I think you've been to a couple other WCW shows as well. Was this the loudest you've ever been to one?
I do have to give credit to the State Arena. I mean, everybody, all the fans in there. Yes, this was absolutely nuts. It was crazy the whole time. The cheers. I was actually kind of surprised that, if you listen to it too, Rey Mysterio got booed when he was going up the ladder against The Miz. I was really surprised at that. And I was also a little surprised, and I think this is also kind of going into why Sheamus is getting a little bit of a face turn. People were cheering for him.
Really?
I mean, loudly cheering for him. I don't know if that's because Chicago does have a large Irish population. But yeah, there was a lot of cheers for Sheamus to win that match.
Wow. Unbelievable, dude. So I'm glad you got to go. I'm glad you got to sit pretty close. That's really good. You basically almost had front row. So
yeah, I paid so much for my seat. I decided to take it home after the, and it is now sitting in my kitchen.
Now, is it true that you hit Colt Cabana over it once and ran?
it was a thought in my head. I had the chair right there, and I kind of wanted to do it. But no, it was Colt was very cool with the fans. He was doing a lot of pictures and autographs after the show. I, however, didn't want to feel like a douche and go up there with my camera and be like, "Hey, I'm going to take a picture of myself and you together." You know, I didn't want to ask somebody to take a picture, so it was cool. I did get to shake his hand, say hi, and then when I was leaving the arena on the other side because I found a shorter line, Alex Riley was out mingling with the fans, so that was kind of
cool. That's cool. Excellent, excellent. So, thanks for coming on and talking about Money Bank. I want you to stick around because we're going to talk about the weekly topic at the end of the show. So, if you please stick around, we'll talk about it at that time.
Not a problem.
All right, so let's move on to Raw. Vince McMahon opens up Raw and he announces that there's now going to be a tournament for the title. It's going to have 8 guys, 4 matches. It's going to be awesome. So what'd you think of this idea? I mean, they just came out. They didn't even discuss CM Punk at first.
You know, it depends on which way that they're going. If they're going the route that they want to forget him, you know, like kind of be the he who will not be named type person, this is a good route to go. And we talked about this on Sunday, on Monday. This Raw, we would have paid for based on what happened Sunday night. So, you know, what we talked about with Money in the Bank, I mean, it was so great that this was such a huge buildup. But this, I think the downside was that this affected the whole show.
Big time.
So this was everything. You know, they have the 4 first, you know, matches, and then they have the 2 next matches, you know, and then they're going to have the, you know, the finals. But McMahon comes out, and he tells Ray to go away. He's like, "No, I got a big announcement." And he's, you know, basically it sounds like he's going to fire Cena. I think that's what he was going to do.
This is right after the match, after Ray's match too. So he would have had to go on double duty.
Yeah. So it was probably a good thing. But he comes out and he's about ready to fire Cena. And then, time to play the game.
Yep. Trips comes out. Crowd cheers. They're like, "Oh, he's our savior." But he's not. So he comes out. And he's like, "Vince, I need to talk to you in the back." And then he says, "No, basically say I'll, you know, He says, I'm going to do this. You can do it right here. And then he lets him know that the board has relieved him of his duties. And Vince starts to cry.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I mean, so are they, you know, is this it looks like this is definitely going to happen. This is the last time we're going to see Vince.
Well, and the other thing too, is I was reading online that this has happened for the past 4 years. Vince has run himself off of the show. You know, he had the car explosion and then Benoit, unfortunately he did his horrible thing. And so that happened. Then the following year, the Raw set fell on him or something along those lines. It was something stupid. The year after that, he sells Raw to Donald Trump. And then this past year, he got attacked by the Nexus. And so he wrote himself off that way.
I forgot about
that. So this may just be another thing where, you know, they're trying to write him off and then he's just going to come back. But we've been reading reports online saying that this is it. Like, Vince actually wants to take a step back and Triple H is going to be running the day-to-day duties. It'll be interesting to see if this is actually the case because, to be honest, and I know I say that a lot, but I think that CM Punk versus Triple H would be a huge storyline.
Especially if he says, I want the title back. If he comes out, in all seriousness, if he comes out next week on Raw and says, Phil, I want my title. I want the WWE title back. I will wrestle you for it. You name the match, you name the place, or, you know, just go on and on about it. And then he could also just say, like, at SummerSlam, I want to face you for the title. Come back. If not, and he could say, do something where he's like, if not, I'll show you my portion of the company or something along those lines. So you could have the company on the line versus the title.
Mm-hmm.
But see, in that case, you know who has to win? CM Punk does.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But,
you know, and I mean, the big thing here that I'm thinking of, too, is that SummerSlam is supposed to be a really big pay-per-view. After that, you have Night of Champions, so that would be a hard one to do it at. Hell in a Cell, I mean, I guess you could possibly do it there. And then Vengeance, which was bragging rights. Survivor Series, maybe? I mean, you could do it there, but that's, you're talking November now.
But see, he could bring in, he's like, you bring your guys in, I'm going to bring my guys in. He brings in Colt, he brings in Ace.
Yeah, he could bring in, you know, all his peeps, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and he says that my team versus your team.
But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that's hearsay. I mean, who knows if that would happen.
Yeah, we're just spreading rumors.
Yeah.
So anyways, so something happened, though, at the SmackDown tapings. Someone went up to Vince and said, hey, just to let you know, Raw only did a 3.2. And apparently Vince just played off like, oh, that's not a big deal. But people were saying that he felt devastated because of the storylines that are going on. He thought it would do, you know, something miraculous. Like, it should have really done, like, almost a 4. Like,
well, the thing that you got to realize, though, is that this is big for wrestling fans. It's not necessarily big for the rest of the people. So it's going to bump itself up a little bit, which is good. And the big thing is if it stays there. Because, you know, if the ratings have been like 2.8, 2.9, and all of a sudden it goes to a 3.2, and then it stays in that area, that's a little bit bigger. You know, I would rather have sustainability over a huge spike.
That's true. But yeah, so you know, and it's one of those things, like, if the rating was really high, it would have been a different story. But it's almost wondering how many people actually bought Money in the Bank, because they built that, even though they built the pay-per-view up only 3 weeks, technically, they could have, if they would have built that up over like a 5-week period, I think the numbers would be different. Because I think,
and Capital Punishment was so stupid. That was a useless pay-per-view.
They could have eliminated that pay-per-view.
And I went to Over the Limit, and that was a useless pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. That was so freaking useless. Money in the Bank should have been a pay-per-view ago.
Oh, definitely.
And you have a 2-month build-up to it. Mm-hmm. Keep CM Punk off TV for 2 weeks, and then he comes back. You know, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. That would be insane. Insane. But, you know, that's more us booking it ourselves.
Yeah, I'm wondering what they're going to do with Raw now next week. I'm actually curious. And it's going to be one of those where I have to watch it live now. This is going to be the third week in a row. I have to watch Raw live. So,
yeah.
Hey, let's move on to SmackDown. So, Daniel Bryan, first of all, had a great match with Heath Slater, by the way. Great match. He actually announces that he will cash his Money in the Bank contract at WrestleMania 28. So, this is the second time this has happened. First time, Mr. Anderson, now Kennedy. Oh, I'm sorry. The other way around. It was Mr. Kennedy. Now it's Mr. Anderson. My bad. But yeah, so that happened once before. And then, of course, turned Edge into, I think, a major star for what happened.
It definitely did. Yeah. I agree. Edge I really felt was just on that cusp. Mm-hmm. And when he cashed it in, it just was, it was huge.
Yeah, because no one expected it right then. No, and he cashed it in, great.
So, I think that's at New Year's Revolution, if I'm correct.
It was, yeah, it was late. It was a late pay-per-view, because once it happened, you're like, oh, crap, that's right, he does have it.
I forgot about it, you know? Yeah.
But anyway, so Daniel Bryan announced that's what he's going to do, because he wants to be in the main event.
So let's talk about this a little bit. I want to point out two things. He said that he's going to be the first superstar ever to announce when he's cashing it in. And
Rob Van Dam.
The whole effing show. He announced it, and then he had it at the one night stand. And Ken Anderson also announced that he was going to be doing it at a time, but he got injured, so he couldn't.
And who else?
That's it.
No, there's one more.
Do you tell remember? Me who then.
The Miz. The Miz announced that he was going to cash it in at WrestleMania.
Well, even if he announced that he was going
to
do
it. He announced it, but he didn't. Yeah. He didn't cash it in then. But he actually said that he wants to headline WrestleMania.
Well, I don't remember that. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. I actually like this. I know, Andy, you said you were a little bearish on it. I like this because I really feel that over the course of a year, you have a guy who is a mid-carder. And you have the opportunity in this year to raise him from a mid-card to a superstar on SmackDown.
Yes.
You have that capability, and then he can cash it in at, you know, at WrestleMania, and he can win the title there. And the only downside is this. We made on our prediction show, you and I both said that Daniel Bryan's going to win a major championship. We're going to be like 4 months off, which is unfortunate. But I think that this is really big and really exciting for SmackDown. I think that they could potentially turn this into a really big opportunity for Daniel Bryan. And I really think that for SmackDown, you could possibly turn SmackDown into more of a indie type show if you have a man like him headlining it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The other thing also I think what they're going to do now is that whoever is going to have the heavyweight the heavyweight championship, I'm predicting right now that he's going to feud with him sometime in the next 2 months, whoever it's going to be. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking for some reason, I think Sheamus, in all seriousness, is because he's getting to that face turn right now. I would not be surprised if he doesn't turn face. He goes back to heel and he wins the championship against, I guess he could go face technically against Christian and then turn back heel. But I think that he's going to have the title when actually we at WrestleMania. Because they've already worked together so much that this is perfect. Because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when they had a match, and it was great. It was almost pay-per-view worthy on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And just think of what they could do. If they did that on a free show, just think what they could do with pay-per-view. And honestly, Sheamus realistically is not that great of a wrestler. But for some reason, him and Daniel worked out great. They shouldn't be. Their styles clash too much.
I agree. I completely agree.
So now the only thing right now is that Wade Barrett's in a feud with, or I'm sorry, that Sheamus is in a feud with Wade Barrett right now.
Well, that's what it looks like. It looks like that they're gonna be feuding because last week it looked like Wade Barrett was gonna be feuding with Sin Cara because we had no idea who Sin Cara was gonna feud with or Wade Barrett.
No.
This is a good opportunity though. Both of these people could come out looking better. You know, they could both come out, you know, having a little bit extra. Prestige, a little bit extra, you know, weight under their belt to make mm-hmm. them look good. That's the big thing. So I'm in favor of this. And I know you are too. Mm-hmm. But I do want to ask you. So Kane took on Orton, and it was a street fight, I believe, was the type of match. But it was surprisingly good. What were your feelings about it?
You know, after coming off the pay-per-view, it was really good because, you know, Orton could then, you know, he could wrestle again. And Christian could tease them and everything. And it was just one of those matches you're like, okay, this is good. You know, like surprise, because Kane can put on matches. I don't know how much longer he has left in him, but Kane and Orton can still wrestle together. And it's nice to see that a younger guy can wrestle with an older guy, if that makes sense. Because there's a lot of times they can't do that. They're it's impossible to work with. But they made this match work, and, you know, kudos to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the match, Henry came out and, you know, he already took out Big Show. Now he's going to take out Kane. You know, do you think Henry's actually going to start feuding now with Kane?
It looks like it. It looks like they're trying to sell Big Show getting injured. So this is their opportunity to have him take on Kane. And the other thing, too, is that Big Show was on Raw. And you want to have Henry take on somebody that's on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, Andy, I actually, you know, I can't wait to get to Impact Wrestling. So why don't we thank our sponsor?
HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, and you're not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you'll find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGators, they offer unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best easy control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code WrestleMania, you will save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling. Samoa Joe loses in another Bound for Glory match. Come on. Let him win. What did he do? Did he say something wrong to Dixie Carter? Does he hate Hogan? What did he do?
This is, you know, in a perfect world, he would go to SmackDown, Orton would go to Raw, and they would have SmackDown be like the indie show. And that would be perfect. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. Instead, Smojo's going to wait around there. They need to do something with him. They need to build him up, and they need to make him a force again. Unfortunately, Samoa Joe used to be a wrestler, and right now he's kind of just there. And I hate that.
Yeah,
I really
it's horrible.
Do.
And, well, the WWE would probably buried him a long time ago.
They would probably ruin him, yeah.
Horrible. I hope somehow he makes, you know, but this could also be one of those things where he starts winning a bunch of matches to barely make it to qualify for the Bound for Glory. So Mexican America versus Bear Money is going to happen again.
I don't understand why they're doing it for a pay-per-view match again. We already saw this, you know?
Yeah, we saw it once, you don't have to see it again. It's just,
although I guess it was gun money technically, but it's,
oh,
you know, it's basically
bad.
It was basically beer money.
You're right. So anyways, hopefully beer money will end up breaking up, because that's a rumor right now that they're going to break up. And well, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Brian Kendrick defeated Alex Shelley, and I can't figure out why this was not on the pay-per-view or a pay-per-view upcoming. Why? This
yeah,
is not
wasn't
a free
that supposed to be the big thing. It's like he's the number one contender. And so for the next 4 weeks, you build up the fact that he's the number one contender by having him wrestle in maybe tag matches or have somebody challenge him for the number one contendership like Austin Aries.
Yeah.
And instead of having him interfere in the match.
I know. So now, but they're going to end up making this a three-way.
You think so?
I think it'll be. Because what else are you going to, why else would he interfere? There's no other reason for him to come in there. I mean, he just got the contract. He's going to have to make a name for himself, but come on. This is just leading up to a three-way, which could be a great three-way, by the way. Anyway, so what do you think so far about the Bound for Glory series? Doug actually said that, here's what Doug said. He said he loves the tourney style. He said he loves anything tournament, you know, like playoff, like, you know, we'll say Stanley Cup playoffs, the NFL playoffs, even the World Cup, surprisingly. But anything tournament-wise, he loves. And the thing is, that's also the thing about this. He loves the fact that they're doing the Bound for Glory. He actually wishes the WWE would do something like this as well. So what are your thoughts on it?
I also like it. This is something that, like, I believe it's New Japan Pro Wrestling does this. It could be AJPW, though. So don't, you know, if I'm wrong, sorry. But they do something, like, every year they have, like, the Junior Cup tournament. You know, they have a round-robin series. They do a tournament for singles and tag teams. They do things like this all the time, every year. So you have, you know, here's the winner of the league tournament in 2009 and in 2010. And that's really big because that's something you can always say every year now. Why do you think the Royal Rumble? I mean, the winner of that is huge. It is huge to have somebody win because they can put that on their resume for the rest of their lives. So when you have things like this, I am in favor of this. And since it's been going on, because, I mean, the initial, like, setup, I was thinking, you know, they were trying the top 10 rankings. And you know what? Like, that fell flat. It really did. And so I wanted to see what was going to happen with this. So that's why we didn't talk about it. But I do like this. I am in favor of this. And I hope that it goes somewhere. I really hope that, like, you know, what you said before, which is what I've hoped, is that Samoa Joe is going to come back and work his way up. And basically, it just barely,
like,
you know.
He needs to win by submission just so he get that 10 points instead of that
exactly.
7. You know, and then he'll just beat the guy up and just put him in submission just so he can get that 10 points.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping for too.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so, and almost I'm the same way. I think it's a great thing. I love tournament stuff as well. I watch all except I don't care for World Cup unless it's the final game, unfortunately. But I do like all types of playoffs. Even baseball, I will watch baseball during that time frame. Anyway, so let's just move on to our weekly topic. What is a pay-per-view? The reason why we're talking about this is Money in the Bank just happened. And that, to me, was considered to be one of the best pay-per-views I've probably ever seen in my entire life. But is it considered a pay-per-view? Like, Doug, what did you think? Like, do you think that was technically a pay-per-view?
Yes, I would consider that one a pay-per-view, and I think it should be in their top pay-per-views of the year.
So, but like something we'll say like Capital Punishment last month. Was that a pay-per-view?
Not so much. Capital Punishment was just a championship Raw, where it was more championship matches, but it was just matches. No, where Money in the Bank has a special theme to it. It has those special once in occasion matches where you have the Money in the Bank ladder matches, something special. And it also had the big buildup of Cena versus CM Punk. That was a huge match, pay-per-view worthy match.
Mm-hmm. Now does a pay-per-view have to have a gimmick?
No, I don't think it has to have a gimmick, but to have one match, at least one match, like the Royal Rumble is a big pay-per-view. It does have a gimmick match in the fact of the Royal Rumble, but that's a big match. And it's something that, that's the reason you pay for it, is you get to watch that one big match, and they usually have two decently good championship matches between both brands that they've worked on a story for and that they've developed a story for. They've developed it. Where you have like Over the Limit and Capital Punishment, those are more like pay-per-views to set up the big pay-per-views where they have continuation. This is the third try of Christian versus Orton, or this is where he'll get disqualified and that's why he'll demand a rematch. But they weren't matches to end or begin a story. Aaron said earlier.
Mm-hmm. So, but Aaron, what about WrestleMania? I mean, that seems like it's considered a pay-per-view, definitely, but why?
Well, it's because that's what the WWE turned into their big pay-per-view. In WCW, it was Starrcade, and, TNA, you have Bound for Glory. You know, you turn certain pay-per-views. This is the big one. This is the Super Bowl. This is the World Series of their wrestling program. So that's why WrestleMania became such a big pay-per-view. And, it costs more. It's a longer pay-per-view. Pretty much every championship is defended there. You'll have special guests and celebrities, and they go all out. So that's why that pay-per-view means something. And that's why, every year, even before we started doing the podcast, we always got WrestleMania. That was the one pay-per-view, no matter what, we always got.
And maybe Royal Rumble.
Maybe, yeah.
But, I mean, I asked Doug this, does it have to have a gimmick? Because technically WrestleMania has a gimmick. It's it's been going on all this time. It's a gimmicky thing. Do you need a gimmick match or a gimmick pay-per-view in order to get over?
I think that certain ones work out well. I've said before in the podcast, I like the idea of TLC because you can have a table match, a ladder match, a chair match, and then a TLC match. I think that's actually pretty good. Extreme Rules, don't mind that. But I'm not a big fan of, let's say there was a ladder pay-per-view, and it was all ladders. Like, then it kind of gets a little boring. Same thing with a cage match, I don't like that idea. Like, they have the Hell in a Cell coming up, and I think it's October. And, I don't mind Hell in a Cell matches, but I don't want to see all Hell in a Cell. That does not get me to buy a pay-per-view. I think this is something that Doug touched on earlier. What gets me to buy a pay-per-view is seeing amazing matches or having an amazing build-up to a match like Cena and CM Punk.
Okay, so it's more about the build-up to make you want to pay to see that match. Like, in all seriousness, I paid $49.99 to watch Money in the Bank. And I actually want to call Comcast to a certain extent and say, I think they should double charge me because I thought it was that good. Now, that's the first time I can actually say that since I think WrestleMania 7. Oh, I'm sorry. WrestleMania 17. Oh, my bad. Not WrestleMania 7. But WrestleMania 17. And that says something because that's, 6 years ago? 7 years ago? So it's actually longer than that. But still, it's just one of those things you're like, wow, that's that's the last good pay-per-view. So is are they not? Do you think if they just cut a couple out here and there instead of going 14 a year or 13 a year, what they're doing, if they went down to like six, would it be worth it?
I think you would get a little bit more of a buildup in the storyline, a little bit better of a storyline leading up to the pay-per-view if you had if you limit the amount. Because some of these pay-per-views, what is there? There's two in October, I think.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And now, yeah, two pay-per-views in 1 month. You only have 3 weeks to build up a plot line to this next match. Some of these pay-per-views are having the exact same matches from pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
And there's usually only like six matches, too. I mean, what do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And we've talked about to great length about the fact that I think it was last year there were three pay-per-views in 5 weeks, if I'm correct, or 6 weeks. It was crazy. Like, who has that money to spend on? And these were worthless pay-per-views, too. They weren't a Royal Rumble. And they weren't a WrestleMania. These were – it was like Hell in a Cell. It was what was the one SmackDown versus Raw pay-per-view, which I can't even remember now.
Bragging Rights. One,
Bragging Rights, yes.
Yeah. So Bragging Rights, like, who wants to pay to see that? Nobody. Nobody wants to pay to see that crap, you know? And if we didn't have to cover this, we wouldn't either. That's a problem. And I definitely agree with Doug on that. I don't know if I would say six necessarily, because I think with how much money they do make off of them, I think 10 would be a good idea to drop it down to 10. Because I think you could have that from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, there shouldn't be a pay-per-view. I really don't think
completely
that.
Completely agree. Completely agree with that.
And then take one out, you know, somewhere else. But I think the point is that we've been talking about is it's not necessarily the name of the pay-per-view. It's what it has in there. If Capital Punishment had Cena versus CM Punk, we would have all bought it. No questions asked. That's the big thing.
No. That's not correct. If they did the buildup like they did, yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, let's say this was Capital Punishment. This pay-per-view that we just saw was Capital Punishment or Over the Limit or, you know, Bragging Rights. If it had that buildup to it, we would have all bought it. You know, that's the big thing. They don't have that anymore. And so a pay-per-view to me is, as Doug mentioned, it's going to start a story. It's going to end a story. It's not a continuation. That is what you use Raw and SmackDown for. Yeah,
definitely. I completely agree. I think what you said was really good. So anyways, Doug, I want to thank you for coming on to the show, by the way, taking time out of your busy day. We appreciate you coming on.
Glad to be here.
All right. Thank you. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.